Welcome to worship this morning, and it's good to be here and to bring God's message this morning again, as always, and always thankful for the opportunity, Ray. Thank you very much. But as you know, you always get a dad story or two in my messages. He was a missionary in Nevada, and sometimes he'd get up and leave early in the morning, and he'd go to two or three churches, and he'd travel, actually two or three missions. They're just real small meeting places, and he would travel 400 or 500 miles, and get home later at night. And so I talked to him one Monday night, and he goes, "I'm kind of tired tonight. I drove about 400 or 500 miles, and I preached about 15 people, and in those three different places. So, you know, it's kind of like this morning." But then the very next thing he said was, "Praise God for all those people who came out to hear God's word." Doesn't matter there's two or three or four, yeah. And what's important is that they were there, and then God sent a messenger. So it's always a pleasure to bring the message. Thank you for doing the music. The music ministry is just as important as the speaking, if not more important. The song, "When We've Been There 10,000 Years, We'll Have No Less Days to Sing God's Praise." I think that's what we will be doing in heaven. And the music kind of, our early morning, Sunday morning, can be like just getting to church. Maybe a little easier for us now that a lot of us don't have kids, but, it can be tough. And you get here and you can be frazzled. The music is a huge part. It kind of brings everything, kind of sets a tone for the morning and the message. So it's amazing this church has so many people that will step in and fill in. So thank you, Sherry, for doing that. I do want to speak from Mark chapter 6 this morning. It was in our Sunday school lesson a few weeks back. I taught the lesson on this, and it wasn't necessarily the feeding of the 5,000, because like Ray said, that was one of the more popular parables in the Bible. It was covered by all the Gospels. What touched me in bringing that Sunday school lesson was how they got to that point. Why did they need to feed the 5,000 people? And that's kind of what I want us to look at, because the feeding of the 5,000 is very popular, but what set this into motion? So I want to start from Mark in chapter 6, like Ray read, and I want to cover verses 7 through 13. "Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions." This is Jesus speaking. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So this is what started the feeding of the 5,000 in motion. It was kind of like a mission trip. It says here he sent them out two by two. See, the slides Ray gives are excellent. I didn't have this in Dayton, so you had to use your imagination, but this really helps. But he sent them out two by two, and that is still what we should do today in almost all instances or things. It says when we go talk to a brother or something, sister in Christ, take somebody with you. And it was Jesus' plan and to send them out like that. One person may remember one thing that another person forgot, and then they have a companion on the way. In those days, you could have tripped and fell and broken an ankle or something and been by yourself. You could have been in trouble. So it was just always best to send them out two by two. It says Jesus also gave them authority over evil spirits, right? And they preached and healed people. So it was quite a mission trip. But it was interesting, he said, just take the basics. No bread, no bag, no money. Pam and I go out of town for a weekend and we take two suitcases, right? I mean, who will leave town with nothing? Who will leave town without money? I couldn't even think about that. But that's what Jesus instructed them to do. They had nothing extra, but they're basically to rely on those that received them. And that's still what we do today. When we're a host, right? When we host people in our homes, we don't charge them, I don't think. We're the host, we take care of them, feed them. And when they're ready to go, we send them on their way. And this was Jesus' exact instructions. So further down in Mark 6, 30 to 32, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. When I have to teach Sunday school or prepare a sermon, I really study, try to get prepared and look at things. It's unfortunate because when it's not my week to teach, I'm a little lazy. I don't do as well. But I look at certain things. So it says they got into a boat. Where'd the boat come from? I know a lot of the disciples were fishermen, but Mark doesn't record it. Was it Peter's boat? Was it John's? Was it a friend of theirs? Or did God simply provide a boat? It just says they got into a boat so they could go to a solitary place. So they're excited about what they did. They're back from their trip, and they wanted to share. They wanted to fellowship. And I pointed this out last week in Dayton, you know, to about fellowship. I told them how our church has a fellowship Sunday, and then it's funny, we had it today. And I said, it's a neat thing what we do. And it is good to share with what God is doing in our lives. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to meet back with Jesus and tell him what had happened. But it was busy. They're still trying to find a quiet place. We've all had missionaries speak, either foreign or home. And here again, my father was a home missionary in Nevada, and he teamed up with Missouri. He had a fellow pastor back there that they did work together. And so my father went back to Missouri, and he preached on a Sunday. Then on a Sunday night, he wanted to share with the people what God was doing in Nevada. And he would do that, and he would always bring a map with him and set up the map of the state and kind of so he could show the people. And he said, here's where we're working right now. We're working in this area, and we're meeting in a schoolhouse. The goal is to obtain some land so we can build a church. And so he kept, continued to share. And then after the service, a family came up to my father and said, you know what? I think we have land in Nevada. We need to... don't remember where it was, so we'll check. So sure enough, they went and checked, and you know what happened. The land they had was in that town, and they donated it. See, that's things you want to share. That's what God is doing. Sends a preacher from Nevada to Missouri to speak on a Sunday night about needing some land, and the family there had the land. They bought it years earlier. They said they didn't know why. Well, it kind of became evident that night. But that's what God does. That's what people, you need to share, what people need to hear. Struck me as funny is that they thought they had the land, didn't know where it was, until Pam and I. And by the way, if Pam falls asleep, you'll want to nudge her. This is her second time hearing this, so... She's heard all this before. But it's probably been 20 years now. I guess Pam and I bought 5 acres of land in Texas. I don't know why. It's in Hudspeth County. never seen it, never been there. We pay the taxes on it. We just one of those things. Maybe someday a missionary will come in and say they're trying to build a church in Hudspeth County, but they need land. Wouldn't that be something? Because I don't know why we bought it, but we do have it. Same as this family, they just bought land in Nevada, and they ended up donating it so a church could be built. What a testimony. And that's what the disciples wanted to do. Can't you just imagine what the disciples sharing with Jesus? It says they cast out demons and they healed people. Must have been quite a mission trip. It really must have been something. And they just wanted to share that experience. In Mark 6, 33 and 34, but it says, many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The people wouldn't give up. It says they ran on foot from the towns and got there ahead of them. Remember, they were in the boat, so they were rowing across the lake, but the people ran to get ahead of them. They recognized them. They were famous. They were. Look at it today, right? A famous movie star or a big-time famous athlete, it's hard for them to go out to dinner. People recognize them. People see them. And they want to be around them, maybe for an autograph or just to talk to them. But it's hard to get away when you're famous like that. So it's still true today. Not many football fans in here, but surely. Are you watching this Kansas City thing with Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Taylor Swift is huge popular, just amazing. She played here in Santa Clara some time ago, and you know they have to redo all the traffic just to get her in and out of town. Well, she goes to the Kansas City games and she sits up in her private box, and then when her boyfriend makes a play or a touchdown or something, the cameras go directly to her, so because she's all excited. They said viewership has increased because of Taylor Swift. One person, so people are there to watch the football game, and then they're there to see Taylor Swift. And every time that camera fans on her, people get excited. Could you imagine if she stepped out of her private box and went down into the crowds? It would be chaos. It would probably affect the game. And this is kind of what was going on with the disciples. Talking 5,000 people running from the towns to get there ahead of them just so they could see him and be with him. It's very difficult sometimes to get away. I want to look at verse 34 again. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When he saw them, he had compassion on them. He didn't shoo them away. In verse 36, it says, send the people away so they can go to surrounding countryside and villages to get something to eat. The disciples suggested that he send them away. They were there to see Jesus. But what does it say? It said he had compassion on them. And he began to teach them. It was back to work. They were still tired, they were still hungry, but it was back to work. Like I'd mentioned, my father earlier, he would travel all those distances and preach at those churches. And when he'd get home at night, sometimes it'd be 9 or 9:30, and he'd ask my mom to make him some dinner. He was hungry and tired. And she'd get up and make him something. You know, she didn't just say, we ate at 6, you missed it. She would get up and make him dinner because he was so hungry and tired by the time he got home. He just wanted to rest and get something to eat. I don't know how much compassion my father had at the end of a day when he was tired and hungry, But it says here Jesus had compassion on them, and he began to teach them. So we know what happened next, right? It was getting late. There's a lot of hungry people. The disciples were still hungry and tired. They hadn't got their quiet time yet. They're in a remote place. There's no food. And there were 5,000 people. And they had 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's all they had. When Jesus instructed the disciples to give them something to eat, they thought they were going to have to go out and buy food. And that is true. How much would it cost us to feed 5,000 people a day? Probably about a month of our wages. And how much time would that have taken? It would have just been crazy. So they collected the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And then what does it say in verse 41? It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. If Jesus is our example, that's another lesson he taught, to give thanks. Even though they were tired and hungry, were trying to get away, he had compassion. He gathered what food they could get, and he gave thanks. All situations we should give thanks. It's hard, but it's an example from Jesus. Verse 42 says they all ate and were satisfied. When I taught the lesson in that Sunday school class, it noted that the word satisfied here and the way it was used, it says they were full. Didn't mean they just had a little something to eat to hold them over. We've all done that. We'll have a light lunch because we're having a big dinner. It says they were all satisfied. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everybody was full. And then verse 43, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. Think the disciples were tired when they got there? Now they're really tired, because now they needed to feed 5,000 people. They set them in groups of 50s and 100, and they had to pass out the food. 12 disciples, 5,000 people. That had to take some time. And then when they were done, they had to pick up the food. They had to gather the food up. I imagine they were pretty tired when this whole thing was over. Let's go back to 31 real quick. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. How'd that work out? They didn't find that quiet place, and they didn't find rest. So that's how the feeding of the 5,000 kind of came about. They were just trying to get away. And then when they pulled up on that shore, there were the people waiting for them. They wanted to be taught by Jesus, and Jesus had compassion on them. So for us today, do we ever get tired? Right? Of course we do. It's how God made us. We have to get sleep. We need sleep. Look at our schedules. I gave the example of the church in Dayton. Harbor Life is doing a trunk or treat. They have a lot of things going on. They have a youth ministry, women's Bible study. Here, even our church, these are ministries. Tacos and pool, right? We're doing the ice cream social. We have the breakfast program Cher's involved in. Compassion Network, we're doing the shoe boxes. There's a lot going on. And then look at your daily lives, what you have to do. Of course we get tired. It's okay to get tired. But just don't get tired of doing God's work. And that's the point of the message. It's okay to get tired, but don't tire of doing God's work. My father would travel all those miles and come home late at night, tired and hungry, but he never tired of doing God's work. The only reason he's not really out of the ministry is he can't physically do it anymore. But he never stopped doing God's work. So how do we keep from getting tired? How do we keep from stopping doing God's work? Two things I usually try to incorporate in one of my sermons or in my messages is you'll usually get a story about my father and Pastor Thomas. Keep your focus. We have to keep our focus on Christ. That's how we keep from getting tired of doing God's work, by keeping our focus. This small church here is changing lives. It changed mine. Pam and I came back, totally changed my life. We need to keep our focus, and we need to keep working hard doing God's work. We'll still get tired, but it'll be a good tired, and God will bless us. Remember when we come in, we have our saying, we come in to worship so we can depart to serve. And that's what we do. We worship through song, then we worship through the message. So when we leave here, we're reminded of what God has done for us, so we can go out and do that for others, so that we can continue to do God's work. Let's look at verse 43. It says, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. It never did say they ate. But what I looked at here is they collected 12 basketfuls of food. How many disciples were there? There were 12. I think God blessed them. And I think he gave them something to eat. He gave them each a basket full of food because he knew they were hungry and they were tired. But they kept on doing the Lord's work. And then when it was over, he blessed them and gave them time to eat. Keep up doing the good work. Keep your focus. Get tired for the Lord. It's the long run. It doesn't stop. Shouldn't stop until we pass or Christ returns. We should continue to do the Lord's work each and every day. Remember how it all started? They wanted a quiet place to get away. They ended up putting in one of the busiest days they probably had in a long time. But they continued to do God's work. And Jesus had compassion on the people. And he taught them. Always be ready to do God's work. Always be ready to serve the Lord. When you're shut down for the night and that phone rings, might be a little tough, but be ready and be available for God. Thank you for coming out this morning, listening to the message. I pray we can take something from it. That lesson touched me by, I always knew about the feeding of the 5,000, but just the points leading up to that, how they got to that place, really stood out to me of what they had to do once they got there. And they were simply looking for a quiet place, but they continue to serve the Lord.